Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I want to welcome our Christian television network audience around the nation and the world, and also remind you, and I guess you know, that we are now joining the Gulf Coast, over 1.4 million potential viewers right there on the Gulf Coast area, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. And we're just glad to be there. I believe it's on Cox Communications. It's like channel 13. But don't forget there's HD as well. So whatever your HD channel is. And
Cox Mediacom.
Mediacom. You think about all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. So there's a lot of different carriers there. Just go to your local TV listings, but it's 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on VFN Radio. We're going to be talking about in today's program something that's just one thing is about this rich young ruler that's just really been on my heart, because if America is really the top 1% of the world in regards to wealth, and our poorest is richer than 70% of 7 billion people on the face of the earth, which means we're the wealthiest folks on the face of the earth. What is this rich young ruler? Because, you know, we always looked at this in a certain way, and we kind of identified this man one way. And you, pretty much every time I've ever heard about him or read about him, you just kind of see him one way. But I believe the Holy Spirit is showing me something a little different about this rich young ruler. And by the way, if we're at the top 1%, we are the rich young ruler. So we need to find out the right perspective. What did he do? The right thing? I mean, how did it turn out for him? Also, we're going to be talking to this teacher. This is teacher up in Washington. The name of the school is Bellingham High School. Bellingham High School. And it is amazing what she did. But she had a school award ceremony take place, and a mother writes a message, an email to the school system there saying, "I was shocked and I was in tears at the school award ceremony. That was just, it was... This is the kind of trash that's being taught in our school." She was just so shocked. And when this segment comes up, I want to encourage you to watch it yourself first, and then decide whether you want your children to watch it or not. But realize, if you just naively say, "Well, I'm not going to watch it," well, your kid's going to see it in high school. This happened in high school. You need to know what's taking place in your high school. And quite often, we're turning our eyes away from things that our children are having in their eyes all the time. And we're wondering what the conflict is. And a lot of the conflict is that the schools are not working with us. The schools are not working with the parents. And it's like, we have to begin to think about taking this mountain called the education mountain and say, you know what? It needs to be of God again. It needs to repent for what we've done and understand the education system is your system. It's a government by the people and for the people. Even if it's federally funded, when people say, "Well, it's out of our hands because the government, it's you. It's we the people in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice." They represent you. So you can talk to your Washington folks. You can talk to your state folks. You can talk to your county and city and local folks that you have representing you. And you can say, "Stop it. Just stop it. You know, if you want to do stuff like this, don't do it in our schools."
Right.
It just starts. It's free America. Go do something. Nobody will attend, and it won't be successful, and it'll fail. But we're not going to fund you destroying our children. We're not going to fund that. And I'll never forget when I came home one day, and my children at that particular time were going through homeschool, and they've been to public school, homeschool, and a combination of all that, whatever, you know, they felt right at the time to do. They enjoyed a little bit all of it. And our neighbor and one of the, our neighbor had a young boy who was given an assignment by the schools. And his assignment was to pick a god and build an image of his throne. And so he picked Zeus. I didn't know anything about this. I'm walking in and I see my kids, and this is, you know, a real nice kid. they're helping him out. I was like, what are y'all doing? It's like, oh, like a popsicle sticks and all this kind of stuff going on. It's like, we're building a throne to Zeus. And I'm like, what? In our house?
Right.
Where did this come from? Like, how did this whole conversation end up in my house? You know, I was like, where did this come from?
Right.
I mean, my children didn't even know about, you know, that aspect of it. And so finally, when I calmly just like, okay, God forgive me for what happened in my home. I'm sorry that a throne of a God that's no God at all is being built. I started asking the question. I said, you know, what happened? Well, you know, how did it?
Talk it to me.
Talk to me, you know. And the kid says, we had an assignment from school. And this is what we're supposed to do. And so I said, okay, all right. And I said, well, this is your new assignment. I want you to build the throne of God, the glassy sea, the 24 elders. And hopefully I'll have a picture of that. We'll put that up on the torch. Yeah. They did a wonderful job. And then they brought it out before the church and they actually explained the awesomeness of the throne of God, the true throne that sits in the center of the universe, surrounded by an emerald rainbow with four living creatures who cry, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Zeus, Zeus, Zeus. And so I called the school board because the school board did that. They allowed that because they're the ones that determine who's going to be working in the school system. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that determine you're going to fire somebody, hire somebody. This is inappropriate material to be teaching. And so I called up that particular art representative from my area. I was like, what is going on? Why would you send a kid home with this in my home? Because I love God. You have to understand, despite what everybody tells you in this world system and the people who say they're walking with God, but they're living like the world, that's offensive to God. To have a throne of another God that you're built, that's a very offensive, you'll find out how offensive that is if you don't repent. And so I'm talking to him and I'm saying, stop it. You should not be sending, you do not send home God assignments with the kids to build thrones to other gods. I mean, you look at the people today, they're saying you can't pray in school, you can't do this. Like, you're sending this kid home with a project to build a throne of a God while you're putting curtains around Jesus and the cross. I mean, think about it. It's like if you got this assignment, say, I want everybody in this classroom to build Jesus' throne. I mean, you'd have this huge uproar. But you send them home. They say, oh, it's Greek mythology. It's Greek God mythology, false God mythology. Mm-hmm. That you should ask the parents. You should involve them in the consequences of that. And so I'm raising all kinds of conversation, talking with them. And he was very kind, very nice and all that. And, but they did nothing. They continue with the agenda. They continue thinking you can talk about all this different thing. And this is what got me the most. That kid was so intimidated. He was so scared that he would be rejected, that obviously he didn't build it around me, but he actually did do it. And he turned it in from his home. He turned it in because he didn't want the teacher to think bad of him. Teacher, you just placed yourself as God over that kid, and you'll be held accountable for that. Well, why do you say that? Well, it makes me think about just recently when I talked about Elymas, when Paul was leading the proconsul to the Lord, and he was being drawn to the faith, and Elymas, one of his employees, came in and began to lead him away from Paul, trying to take him away from the faith. And he was blinded. Paul said, You are of the devil. He said, is there anything good in you at all? And no matter how pretty you make it sound, that was evil to put yourself. That kid was more fearful of you than he was of God. And God saw that. And you know what he did? He did what you said and he laid it at your feet. This teacher down in South Florida that said, you know, write the name of Jesus and put it under your feet and step on it. Our God's not dead.
No.
Is that the movie?
Yeah, God's not dead.
God's not dead. You got to see that because it confronts all this. It'll give you great courage to be able to stand up for God, because in your school, to your faith, well, you're not pushing your faith on other people, but you're standing up yourself for God. Despite if nobody stands up for God, you do. And you can do that. You got to see this. You're going to be shocked. This is from KOMO, Channel 4 News. And like I said, you may want to watch it first before you actually have your kids watch it. But realize this is high school. So this is what your kids are potentially seeing taking place right here. Watch it.
Hello, everybody. An outraged mother is taking on a high school drama teacher who allowed a student award ceremony to turn vulgar.
Couple Force's Mark Miller explains why that parent was so offended and what the school district is doing about it.
She certainly knows how to draw the spotlight.
I wouldn't want a teacher like that in my school.
Drama club advisor Terry Grimes is in trouble.
You know, in the moment, she may not have realized.
She's in trouble after her award ceremony at Bellingham High degenerated into what one parent described as a raunch fest. The mother who attended with her 17-year-old daughter did not want to go on camera to spare her high school senior any stress before graduation. But she shared the night's vulgarities in a couple of emails with KOMO 4 News. And she shared even more with me on the phone. The parent says Grimes and some of her students on stage used the F word and other profanities and performed a skit about a priest wanting to have sex with kids. Then there were the awards for horniest stud and horniest girl, with the winner presented with what appeared to be a box of sex toys.
She has one of those really fun, outgoing personalities.
This senior was not there, but she belonged to drama club last year and loved her teacher.
People make mistakes, and hers just happened to be public.
Terry Grimes apologized today after a meeting with the principal and drama students. In a written statement released by the district, she says, "As a teacher and the club's leader, I take full responsibility and am extremely sorry."
She did the right thing by apologizing, and in my opinion, I don't think it needs to go further.
The outraged mother who blew the whistle says she's satisfied and hopes her complaint will assure student award ceremonies don't go down that road ever again. In Bellingham, Mark Miller, KOMO 4 News.
This is shocking. This is shocking. You put so much effort into raising your kids. And by the way, this is really minor what our kids are being exposed to. But that's your school. Those teachers work for you. They don't work for the federal government. They work for you. And then you have representative government called the school board and the superintendents, or ever how you run your schools, that you elect them, your city council, ever how that happens. And you can go to them and say, deal with this. We're not going to have this in the schools. We're just not going to have it. And if they don't represent you well, you can actually just say, we want somebody that represents our values. I mean, think how major this is. And so think about this teacher right here, this particular teacher, and you're going to be able to contact her right off the VFN torch. But she writes a letter of apology, and that's all she does. You know, writes a couple lines of apology, and then nothing else happens.
Nothing.
What have we, you know, we're not, we have a Marine in jail because he took a wrong turn in Mexico right now. Simultaneously, this is happening. Do you see the strategy? Do you see the plan? Do you see the unfolding of all these tactics? Do you see what's taking place right here? I mean, are you going to be surprised when all of a sudden this thief comes in and just like a bandit steals our nation out from under us? We have to wake up. We have to begin to remember our Constitution, that this is a government by the people and for the people. And people are saying, with all these unions and education, they're saying like, we're the ones that control here. And it's like, no, not really, because it's a representative government. We just need to change our leadership if you're not going to change and line up with the people. Right back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
In the end, what's really important to you, stuff or your faith and family? With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Randy Alcorn shares this perspective, suggesting that you think about eternity today.
I think if we look at our lives right now, we tend to just keep thinking as if we're not going to die and we're not going to leave behind all these assets. And this life is a window of opportunity. So the question that's very healthy to ask is, okay, after I die, what will I look back on and wish I would have done differently? So why not spend the rest of our lives closing the gap between what we're doing now and what one day in the presence of Christ we will wish we would have done?
You'll find more about life challenges and faith at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're just talking about this particular high school at Bellington High School, I believe it's in Washington, that it was just horrific what took place. You know, I just want to encourage you to get involved. Show up at your school board meetings. You can watch them now pretty much. Most people have a broadcast happening of them. And just make it a point that you just show up at the meetings virtually mm-hmm. or physically and have input. And when you're talking to your representative government, you know, honor their places of position that because the community chose them to be in leadership there. But don't be intimidated by them. Speak truth to them and honor and just say, this doesn't need to happen. This is not the proper way to be able to do this. And if they insist, they go, you know, well, that's not what we think. We're just going to go this way with it. That's what they can do. But what you can do when it comes time for the election coming up, you can say, okay, we're going to find somebody with our values, somebody that lines up with our value system in the context of that. Not any party or anything like that. Who stands up for our values? Who values our children? And in a banquet like that and doing that says somebody does not value our kids or their mm-hmm. future mm-hmm. or the parents or the community. So you want to be able to do something about it. Speaking yeah. of that, and of course, they're being exposed to so much today with virtual world and iPads and iPhones yeah. and all that kind of stuff. And they're sort of like the Slender Man, right?
Yes. Two young girls, aged 12, actually stabbed in Wisconsin.
What's this have to do with?
Well, I'm about to tell you, Slender Man, these girls, they stabbed one of their best friends 19 times because of an internet fictitious person called Slender Man. This mm-hmm. is, this is all coming out. It's being reported. ABC News is saying that these 12-year-old girls, they stabbed them. What they were trying to do, as why they stabbed this girl, is because of a fictitional character named Slender Man, and they were carrying out the killing because of him. Wikipedia says that the girls were doing it in order to basically win Slender Man's favor.
Right.
And so you have, and allegedly the girls found out about this fictitious person on the internet. They're reading these horror stories.
It goes deeper than that even the Blaze is reporting that they gave iPads to the students, and they said, don't go outside these boundaries.
Mm.
And that's, I mean,
yeah, give me a break.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that, based on reports from the Blaze, that's actually what they did. They gave them the iPads that let them into this whole thing.
Yeah. Wow. And they are given iPads. I mean, my son attended a middle school where they gave every child an iPad. And so my questions were like, well, wait a minute, let's have some talk about this.
Right.
What are the safeties? What are the things you can put on it? And I made sure that I adapted the iPads where it was, you know, just protective. But it was only the iPad was only protected while they were in school. So the kid can take it home, download whatever they want, and bring it back into the school. No telling how, you know, now we know that the girls had access to it from the school. But they're reading these stories, and what's being reported is that the girls wanted to prove that Slender Man was actually real, and she wanted to prove the skeptics wrong. And the Slender Man is this fictitious, they've made drawings of him as this extremely long character of a man. He has no face. He can be recognized, and he has some tentacles that come out from his back. And in these little horror stories that they were reading, apparently that if you kill on his behalf, then you get rewarded. You have some sort of a favor. And it's just like, what is going on? What is happening to our children? It says basically they wish to commit a murder as a first step to becoming, quote-unquote, proxies of Slender Man. And this is what's being shared with the authorities. They're still investigating.
Which is exactly what Moloch and all the other things that were driven in the past for, you know, giving these sacrifices of children. And this happens.
Yeah. And, you know, we're happy to report that the young girl that was stabbed, she was found by a passerby, a person who was riding their bike, and they've upgraded her condition to fair now. She did survive the stabbing, but now we have to deal with the fallout of how is it that three 12-year-old girls are having a sleepover, and it was this sleepover and this Slender Man result in one young girl being stabbed 19 times. Left for dead.
Night. I mean, there's so much evil to be able to do it, first of all, but then to continue to do it.
Yeah. Allegedly, there's some reports that one of the young girls involved said that for some reason she feels no remorse. And you're looking at an image of one of the images of what Slender Man looks like. Listen, we need to be aware. We need to be watchful of what our children are being exposed to. You know, just previously, we were just speaking about the things that's happening in schools, what's being allowed in plays. But listen, what's happening at home? I've seen so many young people have free reign of the internet. You have iPads, iPhones, Android, tablets, computers.
We have some segments, too, on the VFN Torch you got to go back and listen to about the statistics of that.
Yes.
And how that when a parent walks into the room, and the kids were surveyed, that the first thing they do is switch screens or they clear their cache.
Yeah.
They do all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents just says, oh, they're doing their homework.
Right.
You know, somebody with like a D doing their homework, just
right.
studying, you know, yeah. a man's going in the store like, I need a Pentium 7 million and a uh-huh. screen, all that kind of stuff. And the boy can't even type.
Exactly.
Like, don't give him a mouse.
Yeah.
Don't give him a mouse. Save his soul.
In fact, they say studying said that children's first exposure to pornography comes as a result of, quote unquote, looking for homework, doing homework assignments on the internet. Uh-huh. And so we want to encourage you to get all kind of protective software for your computers, you know, for your children. They have them for mobile devices as well as your internet. One that we've recommended in the past is Be Secure. We'll make sure that's related for you on the Torch. But this brings up a serious issue that we need to be aware of, that, listen, we cannot let our children just see and be a part of anything. Now you have three children's lives that will be forever affected by this. One who was stabbed 19 times and the other two that were involved in this stabbing.
Right.
How do we deal with this now?
Well, imagine society. You know, what society? It already is something. We just haven't unplugged it yet. But once you unplug it, what we've stirred up in the hearts, and it makes me think about the days of Noah, that he says, this is why the flood came. Evil was on the minds and hearts of everybody except for, I guess, Noah and his family.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you start thinking about the only thing that's on folks' mind is evil, and this is just evil. It's like one day these girls were sitting in their classroom right beside your daughter or your son and having lunch together in the lunchroom. They had the same books assigned to them. But one day, because of all this darkness that's coming in the schools, as we talked about in this early part of the program, think about it. They took your kid into the woods and stabbed them 16 times, 17, 19 times. While we're covering the cross up with a curtain or a box, while we're saying you can't pray, but you can bring, it's like, it's a strategy. I mean, this is not a conspiracy theorist. It's an obvious strategy. And if we can't see that, we've been blinded by darkness. It says that he says the light shines in darkness, but the darkness doesn't even understand it. That's what he said. And when we're deceived, when we're walking around deceived and we don't know, you know, what is happening when it's really happening, but can't see it, that we're deceived. And it's just amazing to me. It's like, my goodness, dear Lord. And we talk about the shootings in our schools. We talk about the things taking place in the schools. And it's like, it's time for us to wake up and say, you know what? Don't put iPads in the schools.
Yeah.
Put pencils and paper and books. You know, we're finding out, some of the studies we're finding out is that that this virtual ebook reading and all that type of stuff, that you don't have the ability to remember anymore. It's data in, but it doesn't come back out again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. You don't have anything to recall it by, because it's just like you're sitting there and just image after image is coming in front of you, but you didn't touch it. You didn't, you know, find it and that type of thing. And we talked about that before, but the fact is that why not just have them? Isn't it better to learn one thing right than 10 things wrong? We think, oh, we got to learn everything. Well, let's just learn like 10 things right and lose 100 if we have to. But just, let's learn something like character.
Yeah.
Let's learn something like values. Let's learn something like the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, when we come back from this break, you're going to hear these teenagers that are talking to Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi as she is being interviewed about the Fourth Amendment. And this is where we need to be. This is where we need to be with our kids. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or fall. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God. He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
I mean, I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program. And you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, I went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I am so excited. We'll be soon talking to you about a brand new book coming out by Dr. Avita King called King Rules. King Rules. And if you've been following us for quite some time, you know that that's been on our hearts, and we're very excited about it. We're not going to have probably time in this particular program, but make sure you catch us in our next program. Hopefully we'll be talking about our new book. It's coming out. You can pre-order it now. It's called King, K-I-N-G, King Rules, because her uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who I believe was an apostle sent by the Lord to bring us back, or at least raised up by the Lord to bring us to the original tent of this nation, And I've been reading some of his books, and he has some books that we're going to be talking about. We want you to get Dr. King's books, not people's books about Dr. King. You know, get his books and read them and begin to just understand this man, because the uniqueness about Dr. King is not just all the suffrage and his leadership, but the fact that as a Christian perspective, he's a Christian American. So he stayed loyal to God and he stayed loyal to the Constitution, an amazing man. And he loved his way and walked his way within the context of the laws of the land, confronting the unjust laws, and God honored it. And we can learn from this Christian American, and who I believe is an apostle. So here are these schools that were doing the things that we're talking about, you know, this crazy award ceremony. And I want you to contact that school and to say, writing a letter of apology is not enough. You need to let those kids know that this is not the way you're going to live your life. This was not right, because those kids are going to be your tomorrow's congresswomen and congressmen. They're going to be your senators, maybe your next president. And they're going to remember, this is what we did all the time in our schools. This is what we were taught.
And nobody said nothing.
And nobody said a thing. Doesn't mean people will follow, but at least it says, this is what God's word says. He says, if you wait too late, you're bait. You got to cry out for righteousness now. You got to say, this is not right. Even if we were part of the wrong, we got to say, I was wrong. I repented. I'm sorry. You know, but this is not right. We can't do this anymore. And if we'll do that, God will respond. But this is what he says in his word in the book of Isaiah. He says, but if we wait too late, and a lot of people are just waiting to the last second, and they're going to jump up when it, and they think that it's going to, God's going to respond, but he's not going to respond at that point. Once the momentum's coming in, this darkness, he says, they will devour you. They'll devour you. And there was so much darkness when we began, we launched some years back, that we didn't know what was going to happen in the context of that. But we did not want to be late with crying out. We wanted to at least be in the streets and the airways and all the ways that we are in television, radio, crying out, just saying, come on, we can do better than this. This is what God wants for us. We can turn back to the original tent of the nation and the Lord. And one particular aspect of that is, you know, you think about the Fourth Amendment. And these kids that we're about to show you in just a moment, I believe it's in the Capitol, talking to Nancy Pelosi. That they're talking about the Fourth Amendment. And I'm sure you know the Fourth Amendment, but I'm going to read you the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution so you can know what they're talking about. But the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, you get your little pocket one like this. I encourage you to get a Bible like this and a Constitution like this. But it is, the Fourth Amendment says of the Constitution, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. Think about that. The right of the people to be secure. In other words, it's yours. Nobody can touch it. In their persons, their houses, their papers, and effects. That covers everything. Against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by an oath. You have to swear this is all that you're going for, and affirmed, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be searched. Not only do we have the right for our things and our stuff and our effects, but if somebody wants to search them, they have to go and they say something's wrong. They have to have probable cause. Probable cause is this. You have to believe that a crime has been committed or is about to be committed, and you have to explain in detail and under oath, this is what I believe. And then you have to define the search. You have to say, we're searching not for elephants. We are searching for, specifically, for a car, or we're searching for drugs. We're searching for prescription drugs. We're searching for money. You can't just say, hey, we just want to go plunder all their stuff. This is the Fourth Amendment. You can't just say, okay, what I'm going to do is just pilfer your life. I'm going to go through entire every part of your life, search everything you have, and just decide what I want to do with it. That's how it was prior to the Constitution. That's how it was. The original intent of our founding fathers, this is how their life was. And so they wrote the Constitution. And by the way, this is the Constitution means what we're made up of. This is the ultimate thing, the Constitution, the document called the U.S. Constitution. And understand that it's like, so when you hear about something like Ed Snowden and say they're searching every phone call, oh, don't worry about it, it's just metadata. Then you say, yeah, you worry about it because it's Fourth Amendment. Right. Somebody says, well, that's papers. No, it ends with effects as well. It's anything that has to do with you. I mean, if you have probable cause to believe a crime's been committed or is about to be committed, swear to it. Stand before the whole world and the judge and hold your hand up and swear and sign your name to it. But then just look for elephants. Because if you said you're looking for money, for example, and we have a whole segment on this you can listen to. It's available to you on the Fourth Amendment. But if you say you're looking for a cigar box, something the size of a cigar box, for example, and you go in there and you see an elephant, you know, obviously, you know, you can that counts, you know, because you had to find this particular get around the elephant. It was a, for example, say the elephant was a law, it was against the law to have an elephant in your house, but you put a search warrant down to be able to go look for a cigar box or a shoe box. Well, that's going to stick because you had no, I mean, you bumped into the elephant. But if the search warrant was for an elephant and you didn't find it, we're looking for elephants, but you went into the back closet, digging through the closet where elephants don't fit, and you went and got a shoebox, and the shoebox, it had some illegal drugs in it or whatever you thought was illegal, and you arrested that person, that arrest does not stick because you violated the Fourth Amendment constitutional rights of that person. That's just how it works. That's, you're constitutionally protected. And so when you're looking at how horrifically broad, sweeping of a violation of the Fourth Amendment, it's like, this is a huge violation to search all your data, all your information, and all the things about you without first saying, and you're an innocent person. You're like the Sergeant Andrew in Mexico. You're an innocent person who's being, it's like, no, you don't, that doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, listen to these students talk to Congressman Nancy Pelosi, asking her the question about, isn't this a violation of the Fourth Amendment? Why are you supporting? And you think about it, every congresswoman, man, every senator, every leader swears an oath to protect us from enemies of the Constitution, foreign and domestic. So we have anybody that's an enemy that violates the Fourth Amendment, it's her job to protect us from that. That's why you ask her that. You wouldn't ask her that because you're political. You would say, you swore an oath to protect us, to uphold the Constitution and protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic. That's why you would ask her this. You wouldn't ask her this for any political. It's like, this is your job.
Yeah.
And he's saying, isn't this a violation of the Fourth Amendment? Listen to this very smart teenage kid.
Why do you support the NSA's illegal and ubiquitous data collection?
Well, I have questions about the metadata collection that they were collecting, unless they had a reason to do so. I didn't support Amash, that resolution. I didn't think that was the appropriate resolution. But I do think that the burden is on the the department, and I have fought them for years, on the community, fought them for years on the wide swath that they have put out there.
You did vote for a bill to continue funding for the NSA, though.
Yeah, of course. I don't think we should not fund the National Security Agency. No, they do many,
many things. Isn't the NSA a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment?
No, no. Some of what they should, what they do should be subjected to scrutiny in some of the things, but they perform many other functions as well, and we hold them to a high order. And I've had my biggest fights here in the intelligence community with the director of the NSA, Hayden, when he was the director. I don't think he was on the level with us. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other things that are there that are good things that are necessary for us to have. But from 9/11 on, the Bush administration went too far on all of these things, and we have the correspondence back and forth to prove or to demonstrate that they were just doing the wrong thing.
So you're looking at, you know, this young man obviously knows the Constitution. And I'm looking right here, and I'm reading off this off the torch, so you can read it too. We have every oath that everybody takes, whatever office they're in. And this is the oath that is taken by Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, is I guess you would have said Nancy Pelosi, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I will bear faith and allegiance to the same. I mean, think about this. So she had an obligation to that American citizen to say, you know, I want to see some faith. I want to see something that's happening in your life. Where's your allegiance to the Fourth Amendment? So he wasn't being disrespectful when he says, well, can I ask you why that you funded something that's purportedly, and according how she answered, obviously saying there are some areas that need some oversight, instead of saying there are some areas where your Fourth Amendment rights are being violated.
Right.
And we read the Fourth Amendment rights again, so you would understand what they are and what he's talking about. Is I'm reading from the U.S. Constitution, a little pocket version you can get right here. Is the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, this is your rights, the right of people to be secure in their persons, their houses, their papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. That's the first part of it. So he's saying that this shall not happen. It's not like it doesn't need to happen, you know, some of the time. It shall not happen. First of all, you think, wow, that we've had that kind of rights in America for that long. Thank God for that opportunity.
Wow.
Then realize right now it's being violated across the land. But if we repent, maybe God will allow us to have those rights again. Because that's what was happening. When they stood up for a new country, you know, in America, and America didn't exist when they first stood up, they're saying, we don't want people just barging in our houses, searching all of our stuff, stopping us on the streets and taking stuff out of our pockets, going through anything they wanted to go through. And now, because now they're telling, this needs to be a paperless society. They got this green thing going on. Do you want your, you know, the green bill now instead of getting it on paper? No, send me, take your time. If you're going to ask me for money, take your time to write it down on paper so I can document it in case the power gets unplugged. You know, I can prove it. But the whole thing is that the more they're doing that, they're saying, listen, now that we got your in data instead of just in paper, we'll let anybody search this we want to. We'll let anybody. And it's like, wait a minute. And I know we're fixing to go to break, but think about this. They're saying that corporations are people. They're saying that they actually have an entity in the context of they can contribute to political campaigns or whatever, like that kind of stuff. But understand this too. If that's true, then that corporation can be held accountable for what they did with that information. If they, as a company, as a phone company, as a cable company, as a utility company, whatever it is, they took our information, then they can actually be dealt with and be liable for violating our constitutional rights. Okay. You want to be able to throw money at politics and all that's fine. But you also, you're held accountable like any other citizen would be, and you are violating someone's constitutional right, and you should be held accountable for that. You should guard our information and not hand it out to anybody. Not to anybody. Because somebody chose to do business with you, you should just be honored that they're doing business with you. And so we're just learning, we're understanding our original intent of the Fourth Amendment, and there are some great kids out there. They're going through school and being taught some good things, and we need to say, you know what, this is what we want in all of our schools.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, what's been going on, man?
It's been going good, man.
What's happening with all of our sponsors and underwriters out there?
It's exciting. There's a lot of folks that want to partner, want to be a part. We had a great time in Alabama last time we were there. We're looking forward to connecting with more of them. But yeah. I want to encourage you. Listen, if you're listening today and you want to be a part of just what God's saying and doing right now in the face of the earth, you want to put your business in a place, you know, like that. Listen, this, we're standing for God. We're standing for country in that order and for Israel. And
stand while you can.
Stand while you can, man. Stand while you can. But there's great opportunity. I'm just excited to just talk with different business owners and them wanting to join and be a part. It's really exciting.
And our desire, you know, and by the way, for all of our Christian Television Network audience, we're just so glad to have you around the nation. And we're looking forward and believing for five new television markets. So standing with us, our partners who partner with us every single month through prayer, finance, and finances, and our businesses and underwriters and sponsors who stand with us, that's how we get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, truly, this is a network that God is building through your love gifts. All the money in the world could not do what's happening right now, but yet God requires us to want to participate in the process before he manifests what he's going to do on the earth. And so we give our, you know, our offering, and then God goes, cool, you want me, I'm coming. You know, and all of a sudden, you know it, then this big pillar of fire is coming down in the tent with Moses. And some people thought it was the tent, you know, but God kind of explained that to Korah and all that.
All right.
And kind of the concept, it wasn't Moses. And so truly, that's how it happens. I mean, we just say, yes, God, we want you. We want to stand for God and country in that order and Israel.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
The Orange.
BRSM.
The BRSM, Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Brown, Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine, and it's the anointing, it transferred.
It never happened until it happened.
Exactly. Thank you for that contribution to the program.
Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share
We're just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? He's like,
Till,
that's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student, so I know you probably think differently in the context
of Hagar.
That.
Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the...
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say the same.
Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
You know, okay. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right, we're here. All right, VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
it's
croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote.
Let's
very
get
serious
in
quote.
Serious
yeah.
mode.
I think
Ian,
so.
Ian, we are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay.
So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. If you missed the earlier part of the program, you got to catch it. Go to VFNTV.com. It's amazing what these young folks are doing, standing in Congress, talking about our Constitution, reminding us, oh, yeah, That's what you swore to uphold and protect and defend. And oh yeah, you are searching my stuff. And wait a minute, it's not illegal for me to say you're violating my constitutional rights. It's actually illegal for you to violate my constitutional rights. Isn't that weird how that works? But I just want to talk to you at this part of the program about something I think that the Lord is really I'm just beginning to walk it out and think about it. This rich young ruler. I mean, you think about God so loved the world that he gave his son. So Jesus was born of Mary, a virgin, as a babe, grew up, raised, and for 33 years he lived on the earth. His ministry while on the earth, walking in physical form, was 3 years. And what he did was he made the Father known. He made the Father known. And so when you're hearing Jesus talk, you're understanding God. You're understanding the Father. You can't just go, oh, well, that was kind of nice. I don't really know. I don't really get that. Like, no. And so he's talking about a rich young ruler right here. And this rich young ruler, Jesus is ministering to him. He's giving him the opportunity to understand this is God's son in front of you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with him? This is the son of God in front of you, rich young ruler. And you think, why would you have a rich young ruler? Why would you talk about it right now? Because America is the rich young ruler. America, if you put a title over America right now, rich young ruler could be over America. We walk around, you know, overconfident sometimes in who we are as a nation, boasting of our power and our strength. We're richer. We're the top 1% of the entire earth's wealth, reportedly. Even our poorest folks are richer than 70% of 7 billion folks, which is like six. We're richer than six. Our poorest now is richer than like 6-point-something billion folks on the earth. I mean, the definition of poor had to be raised up to middle class to be able to kind of to push this. Anyway, so we're the rich young ruler. And so when you look at what Jesus is talking about right here, and this is the perspective we heard for years, you know, Jesus is talking to this man that comes up and he says, hey, you know, what do I have to do to be saved? And so he's interested, which means, first of all, he wasn't. But he was interested in the idea and the concept. Just because people say, what do I need to do to be saved, doesn't mean they really want to. They got to first find out, what does that mean to be saved? And so many people go, well, they're saved. Like, no, they showed interest. They were authentically interested in giving their life to the Lord. And this man was authentically interested in giving his life to the Lord. And Jesus was very pleased and loved this man. And says, oh, well, you need to. And he began to list off, you know, the commands. You know the commands, Jesus said. It's, you know, it's not a secret. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. In other words, he's going like, you already know what it is. And this is amazing how folks, you know, it's like, stop murdering. Right. Stop stealing. You know, right?
Right.
I mean, think about it. That's what he's saying to them. And people are like, you have a new message? I'm tired of that murdering message. I'm tired of that hating message. Or
stop lying.
This adultery message. You know, you've done it in your heart. You've done it. Can we quit saying that? Do not steal, do not lie, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. I mean, this is what he's telling him. What does that mean? If he's not doing any of that, but this guy says, teacher, he says, he's talking to Jesus. All this I have done since I was young. An amazing man. He didn't know that God talks about the heart, but he's really meant it. He said it. And then Jesus looked at him and he said, he loved him. So he says he loved him. And he said, well, there's just one little thing that you lack. Because he was going right after one thing. He was going after his God. Will you give up this God for me? It may be different for everybody, but for him, this was his God. It was money. But wait a minute. If America's like the rich young ruler, maybe we're in the same boat. Maybe he's coming to us and asking us the same thing. And he says, well, just one more thing I need to tell you about. I want you to go sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. And he says in this particular scripture, I think it's Mark 30, 21, he says, 22, he says, disheartened by the saying, he went away. sorrowful, for he had many things, many possessions. And you think, my goodness, I mean, he left God for his stuff. And you go, well, that, you know, you just kind of leave that. And he says, well, that happens all the time. Well, no, not really, not anymore. This is what happens today. This is what happens in America today. Yes, the same rich young rulers show up. That's anybody in America, right? Mm-hmm. And you tell them, you know, you're going to have to honor God. I mean, you're going to have to follow God. You're going to have to do what he says. You're going to have to honor God. You're going to have to be faithful to him. And he may point out, God may say, you know, this is in your life and this is in your life. Or, you know, you need to honor him with your finances. You need to get this out of your life. And just like the rich young ruler, but a little bit different, where he was sorrowful because he realized he couldn't have salvation and the thing that God said get rid of. So he kept the thing that God said get rid of, and he walked away. Now, this is the difference in America. This is going to shock you. In America, when the Lord speaks to someone and they say, hey, I want to be a part of this church. How do I get saved? And they're told exactly what God's word says. And the person just goes, oh, okay. What time is choir practice? Can I minister? It's like, no, let's go back. You're supposed to be sorrowful. You can't keep your gods and serve God too.
Right.
At least this rich young ruler knew to walk away. He knew that he wasn't going to be saved. He knew that if he kept his possessions over Jesus, over God, then that's his God. But in America, it's like, it's not a big deal at all. It's just like, oh, no, I'm going to keep all the pornography. I'm going to keep all the relationships. I'm going to keep all this bad thing. I'm going to keep all these false gods. I'm going to keep everything. And I'm going to stay here and do church with you.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even sorrowful. We're not even sorrowful. And we definitely don't walk away.
Hmm.
And the leaders, quite many leaders, don't have any issues with this at all because they'd rather have a crowd than souls won in the kingdom of God. It's time for us to wake up and have the same response and say, listen, you've got to deny all other gods. Whatever it is, and God said get rid of it, he obviously means it. Sorrowful or not, not acknowledging it or not, one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. We'll have to acknowledge him. But it's now, when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, that we're saved. He forgives us. And he knew what this man's issue was. And that's America. America's the rich young ruler. Are we ready to put money where it belongs, under our feet, and begin to say, God, you're God. You're God of this nation. Lord, forgive us for what we've done and made money our God. We want you. And even if it means sell all of our possessions and give them to the poor, so be it. Whatever you want, Jesus.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.